local and independent artists.
Look, there's great advantage in having an every person for himself mentality.
But instead, we go out of our way to care for one another.
Morality is incurring a cost to yourself in order to benefit another.
So why did empathy evolve?
And is that the thing that defines humans, or is it our navel gazing?
We are the only species that has evolved the ability to hold ourselves up to the light and say, you know, are we special? And to give the answer, which is both yes and no. That's the paradox.
We'll take a look at these yes and no's, including our social behavior.
Surprisingly, the greatest similarity is not with our fellow primates.
No chimpanzee has ever developed highways and infrastructure, has developed agriculture and mass warfare.
But another species has, and it hasn't met a picnic it didn't like.
It's Let's Stick Together, next on Big Picture Science.
Hey guys, it's DJ Starlight here, the host of Listen Between the Lines. Join me every Tuesday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., where I will be playing all the alternative hits that might make you sing, might make you groove, but will definitely help you move through the week. Only on the station that is making waves, and that is WHFR.
Hey, knucklehead, what are you doing?
Just throwing away this old WHFR loyal listener guy.
Well, make sure you recycle it, lame brain.
I know.
Better yet, why not save a tree and sign up for the WHFR e-newsletter instead?
WHFR has an electronic newsletter?
Yeah, you just need to go to their website, pay attention when I'm talking to you, WHFR.fm, and hit the sign-up link. It has all the same bells and whistles of the paper newsletter.
Really?
Yeah, it's the most up-to-date WHFR info sent right to your email box. You got one of those, don't you?
Yeah, I got three of them.
Ah, you wise guy, think about it.
Yeah, no more running up to the record store to get my copy and saving me on gas, too. Info sent right to my email box. That makes me very happy.
Well, okay, Mr. Happy. Let's go to WHFR.fm right now and sign you up.
Yeah, let's go do it.
It's informative, quicker, and easier on the environment. It's the WHFR electronic newsletter. Visit our website, WHFR.fm, and sign up today.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists.
Relatively cool 87 degrees of the early morning, over 100 Rochester Hills residents, local business workers, and City Hall employees headed out to a quiet neighborhood near Denby High School on Detroit's northeast side. This is not a casual outing.
We'll need at least 6 weed whackers, 3 or 4 shovels, rakes, brooms, at least 8 loppers.
This is Life Remodeled, a Detroit-based nonprofit that focuses thousands of volunteers and residents on cleaning up the neighborhoods that need it the most. The goal today is to clear brush and weeds from around abandoned houses or alleyways.
Picking up trash, cutting branches, cleaning debris, just name it, everything.
Basically, any place someone can hide from police or lie in wait for a victim is coming out. A lot of grass was cut and trash was collected too. It's all meant to send a clear signal that this neighborhood is cared about and will not let itself fade into decay.
Our office brought a team of people down and I enlisted my 14-year-old son to come down with me, got him involved. And we're just happy to be here teaming up with other civic groups, other communities, and the people that are here. We feel like we're part of a greater good here, and I think we're pretty proud of our accomplishments. And even though we're sweating, and some of us might be sore using some muscles that we haven't used in a long time, I think we'll be glad that we came and did it.
A couple of neighbors have come out and come down and thanked us for being here and helping clean up the neighborhood. Others have come out and helped us clean up some of the lots and things. Appreciative of what we're doing out here, so it's been great.
My employer was down here on Monday. I had some commitments where I couldn't get down here, but saw through social media, was just encouraged, wanting to just get involved with like-minded people, and saw the city was getting involved.
I'd say it's an easy way to help out a community that needs it. You have the skills, so might as well come out and use them.
Between mowing lawns and clearing overgrowth, Mayor Barnett had a chance to talk to some residents of Novara Street about their passion for their neighborhood.
The people that live here want this neighborhood to come back. That's why we stayed. We could have moved. We could have done an exodus also. We want this neighborhood to come back. This is wonderful. Good people here. Majority of them good people.
Good people like Carolyn don't just sit back and let their community decline. They also don't let a bunch of strangers on their street without asking their own questions.
Now, let me ask you something. Your interest in coming down here from Rochester Hills, because if this city is good, it spreads out to the neighborhoods and to the suburbs, does it not?
You're exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the reason. I mean, we truly feel that, you know, our region centers around Detroit.
Yeah.
And as Detroit goes, so goes entire Southeast Michigan. And so, you know, I'm pleased that so many of our folks wanted to come down and give up a day and work. Most of them have never been to a Detroit neighborhood like this. I haven't,
yeah.
And helped like this. And I think it's been neat just to chat with you, to chat with your neighbor. The ownership and the pride. I mean, you told me the first thing you said was, I love this city. This is a good city.
The work was hot and hard. Hard on the people and hard on the tools. Some of the bigger tools were in the hands of a Rochester Hills DPS crew transforming a neighborhood park. Today, the broken concrete and rusted metal posts had to come out. In the early spring to ask his help in mobilizing Rochester Hills to pitch in on this day.
All right. That was a trailer that we had from Life Remodel back in 2015. This is Betty Daniels with Impact, and welcome to the Fourth Tuesday Impact. In the studio, I have Mr. Dandridge. I'm going to let him give you his full title and exactly what he does.
Listeners, I am Duan Dandridge, Vice President of Projects and Community Engagement with Life Remodel.
Okay, we got a little bit of a technical difficulty here. Okay, can we just start that again?
All right, we'll try it again.
Okay, I'm going to finish up this clip and then we'll come back to Mr. Dandridge.
You need to work on problems that, when you get down to here, the Denby area in Detroit, you realize our problems aren't as big as we think they are. I'm super proud that today, and Rochester Hills stands with Detroit Day, 100 city employees joined by residents, members of the community, businesses, came down here to give up a day in some pretty hot weather to help out and clean up some blight, move some posts, just really invest in people's lives down here and improve the quality of life for the residents of the city of Detroit, one little neighborhood at a time. Couldn't be more proud of our team, couldn't be more proud of our effort, and couldn't be more proud of our city and the spirit we have to not only be innovative, but to care about our greater community.
If you or your organization would like to get involved in the next Life Remodeled project, visit liferemodeled.com.
Okay, go ahead.
Is this one live?
All right, talk up a little bit. Let's continue to talk, and I'll keep on talking.
Okay. Feel like this one is coming through a lot more clear.
Keep on talking, don't stop.
All right. Is that sounding good? Sounding good here.
Okay. All righty.
All right, Mr. Dandridge. I am a host, not a technician. Okay. Once again, introduce yourself to the.
So I am Duan Dandridge, Vice President of Projects and Community Engagement with Life Remodel.
Okay. And exactly, okay, now what we just heard on the trailer was something that was 4 years old. And when I asked, I told Life of a Model that I was coming back to talk to, with them, and I wanted to share with them, you encouraged me to come out. Okay. And I'm thinking, okay, what is, you know, I've been there, I've been doing this. Why is he asking me to come out? All right. However, like I said, the trailer I gave to you was what Life Remodel was 4 years ago. And now they are currently where?
We are in the neighborhood surrounding Central High School.
All right. And now, there's been a change. In the, you've been around Central High School. How long have you been there?
So this is year three for us.
Okay. And tell us now a little bit about what's the change from 4 years ago to where it is now.
Great question. So I think that the way we would describe it is that we're kind of growing up from, you know, what we looked like 4 years ago when we would spend 1 year in a neighborhood and we would do the three things that we do each year. And this project that we're on, we've decided by, you know, much community engagement and what we've embarked upon, that it make more sense to be there in the same community for 3 to 5 years.
Okay. Now, for your volunteers, what does that mean?
So it means that when you come back and look at the work that you put in, when you come and you know, be very generous with your time and energy, it has a lot more potential to be sustainable.
All right.
So what I mean by that is, you know, we are able to go a lot deeper with our volunteer push, the efforts. Normally we're in the front yards and boarding up homes.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're able to get into the backyards and even the alleys, which is what's going to be our primary focus this year.
Okay. Now, when I was out there, and I've kind of gone there like two different times and do two different projects. Just to bring my listeners up, I first became aware of Life and Model back in 2008. That was when they were over on the west side or northwest side. And then they were moving, like I said, they were identifying different schools and that type of thing. So at that time, there was very much the community involvement grew from that time. And when I was there, I was over at the Osborne Project. Each time, I was just more and more and more impressed. There was a lot of community agencies, not just community agencies, it was just all types of volunteers. People, we even had people from out of town who were being a participation of that. Is that the same kind of a thing that they have, or is it different? And if so, how?
So pretty much the same as far as our volunteers go.
Mm-hmm.
Once you come out, most people are kind of hooked.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to come back and see what it looks like next year. It looks, you know, kind of like a military operation,
okay,
all the moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
As you can imagine, and having 10,000 volunteers and, you know, working on one area for 6 days. We pretty much draw from the same sectors. We have large supporters from the business sector, the faith-based community, and just the community activists, as well as the community members in the area that we're working in that are very passionate about their neighborhood.
All right. Now, which community, because when, I hope I'm not confusing our listeners, but I want to be able to kind of give a flavor of what Life Money Model was, because you really, and I'm saying two things at one time. The question I was going to ask you is what community groups are working with you now, but at the same time, I wanted to discuss how the community is working with the current project. So, back in the day, all right, there were different communities around Osborne who saw the fact that if we help Osborne and if we help, you know, like 300 blocks, that's going to impact everything around it, that type of thing. What community, okay, so go back to the original question. What community agencies are working with you now?
So we have a wide range of community agencies. Most of the time when we come into a community, there's already people there. There are already stakeholders there that are putting in the hard work, doing the heavy lifting. And what we like to do is kind of come along an existing vision and come along those that are already have their sleeves rolled up doing the work. So we work with, you know, organizations like Focus Hope, is a strong partner. that are inside the boundaries that the 300 blocks
described. Right.
Central Detroit Christian is another organization. There's the Central Alumni Organization. There's also the Central Booster Club.
Okay.
Those are some of the strong partners. We've actually been able to form an advisory council to Life Model. We call it the Life Model Community Advisory Council, LRCAC.
Okay.
And that's comprised of some very passionate and brilliant community members that just love the neighborhood. They're part of the neighborhood.
Right.
And they speak into our organization as stakeholders to kind of like make sure that we are, the things that we're doing are the things that the community desires.
Okay. Now, how long will Life and Model be in this area?
So we're scheduled to be in this area up until 2021. So that would make 5 years in the same neighborhood for us.
All right. And then what is the goals that Life and Model has during that five? Well, so you have 2 years left now, or are you in two years?
After this year, we'll be there for 2020 and 2021.
Okay. All right. Then what is the end goal that Life and Model has then for that end? But, you know, what do you hope to have accomplished by the end of that five-year period?
So pretty much just to continue what was already taking place before we got there.
All right.
Blight is a big passion of ours. As a Detroiter myself, it definitely troubles me to see the results of the mass amount of vacancies that we see and have around the city.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, doing things like boarding up the vacant properties, making it safer,
All right.
cutting the grass on vacant properties and clearing out the alleyways, which is what we're going to do this year.
Right.
And then moving forward, what we'd love to see and what we're working on right now is a lot of times some of those things get out of control just because it's unbearable and overwhelming for the amount of people that are there to take on such a burden of trying to maintain a block that has 50 houses on it, and you may only have 10 of the homes occupied.
All right.
So one of the things that we're doing is we're partnering with some of those leaders in the community that some of those leaders in the community that are already there
mm-hmm.
and have a passion or a desire to do what we do, maybe on a smaller scale.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing is we're setting up like a resource center.
All right. Right.
So they'll be able to come and do their own volunteer projects and efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And what we'll do is we'll help them by pointing them in the direction of either some volunteers that want to stay and remain in that community, but we'll also assist by way of making sure that they have access to the tools and equipment necessary. So even after 2021, when we have moved and found another neighborhood that we're going to be working in, there'll still be a plan in place to make sure that the things that we've done and the things that we've accomplished are sustainable.
All right. It's almost as if you are doing a training, if you will, for the community and also for what's developing, what's coming up. When I was there, because it's in what used to be Durfee Middle School.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So that's where Life, and it's not really like, is it still called Life Model, or does it have a different name?
No. So the students that were there up until 2017, June of 2017, they renamed it, and they wanted to make sure that Durfee was still a part of the name.
Okay.
And it's been renamed Durfee Innovation Society.
Okay.
Or DIS.
All right. Now, and that's one of the things that I liked about Life Model is that the youth have very much an involvement, an investment, and a voice. That's really the word I wanted to say, a voice in what's going on. Because at Osborne, the youth took the old gym, and they made, you know, recycled it in a very creative, very innovative ways. So that's, you know, that's just another part of what Life Remodel is really about. Can you share some of the different agencies, well, or organizations? It's not organizations. Is it businesses, companies? How do you describe the ones who are now in the Durfee complex? I guess I'll use that word.
Yeah. So I think what you're describing, just to give a little bit of background, is what the Durfee Innovation Society has become and is becoming. We are looking to take the space and create what we like to call an opportunity hub.
Okay.
Where we have some of the brightest and best nonprofits and for-profits that will come and lease space there and mm-hmm. run their programming there. Mm-hmm. The way I personally describe it as a Detroiter is, as someone who was born and raised in Detroit, and I'm raising my children in Detroit, I like to say it's that space that we would often find when we would go travel outside the city's boundaries and say, wow, this is an amazing facility, and these are some amazing programs. I would love to see those inside the city,
right
in the neighborhood. And I think that that's what we're attempting to create, and it's going really well so far.
Okay.
So we have anybody that comes to lease space there, be it for-profit or non-profit, they have to have a social impact on the surrounding community. They have to be a value add or benefit to the neighbors in the community. If not, we just aren't looking to just lease space just mm-hmm. to, you know, turn a profit or keep the lights on, so to speak.
Okay.
So just to highlight a few of the tenants that we have in there, we have the Lawn Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Miller is the founder of the Lawn Academy, and their mission and their goal is to employ students throughout the summer. They have, I believe, up to 80 students working right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the service that they provide for the community is they cut the grass for senior citizens in the neighborhood, vets, and disabled people.
Okay.
And they're employed, they're paid while they're providing us service, but nobody is charged.
All right. Okay.
So none of the seniors, none of the vets, none of the disabled have to pay a dime for that service
that's
being provided. In addition to that, all the students that are employed throughout the summer, they also get to go to class twice a week. And they get a college professor to train them either in Mac training
mm-hmm.
or PC training.
All right.
So that's one of the programs. We have Perfectus. I believe that that's a new name for them, but that's an amazing program. They work with the students that are having some behavioral issues, and they don't deal with the what the kid is doing or what the kid isn't doing. They deal with the why. So they build relationships with the parents. They get into the home. They find out what's going on. It's causing the kids or maybe triggering the behavior
mm-hmm.
Issues. And they, if it's a resource, they try to plug in and connect the family with resources that are necessary. Sometimes it's a wide range of issues from like not having water in the home or
mm-hmm.
not having heat or, you know, being hungry. So
okay.
they find out what's going on and they try to get to the bottom of that and resolve that. And then we can ask the kid to live up to normal expectations
okay.
once we give them,
right.
they give them some normal living conditions.
Right, right.
Another thing we have is we have Tormina's Pizzeria inside the space, and it's the social impact that they have is they actually hire high school students from Central, which we're on the same campus as Central, and they bring them in and give them a part-time job, but they don't just teach them how to make pizzas, but they also teach them how to run a franchise.
All right. All right.
That's just to name a few.
Okay. Some of the other ones that I think the ones you just talked about are, one was for non-profit, another one's a for-profit. Is that correct, the different ones you just described?
Yes. So Tormina's is a for-profit.
All right. I met another person who had a for-profit. Well, I got the opportunity to meet two other business people. Okay, this is some of the reason why I'm stumbling around with words and I'm kind of like trying to defend myself is that it's new and different. And so the terminology that we used for yesterday does not fit. All right. So I did get a chance to meet two other tenants. There we go. one, and I can't remember the name, so you maybe can help me. One was a upscale resale. Store.
Mm-hmm.
Boutique. And what impressed me about, because like you just described too, this still is another different type of business. And I like the fact that it's not only the diversity of people, but a diversity of businesses, diversity of types of businesses, which I think fits into what the objective is for Life Remodeled. That if you try to clone everything, after a while, it's just going to die out. But if there's a diversity, that's a amount of vitality. So there was the boutique. Then there was another nonprofit
who are in the process of, I guess, assimilating, and refugees or immigrants who have come, who are more or less exiled from other countries, and they're working specifically with women because I guess we Westerners don't Western women, Western society women don't really know just how much of a blessing or a gift we have with our independence and our being able to do things. So this particular agency, and if you can you remember the name of that one?
I'm sorry, I cannot remember the name, but I know exactly who you're talking about. The name is escaping me right now.
All right, but and in talking with this particular person, the lady, and I have to apologize, but I will give him a plate.
Her name is Karen.
Karen, all right, okay. Karen was explained to me how working with the women had to do, it's almost like the same thing you were doing with the youth who had behavior problems, but it was coming from another adjustment in another area. The women had to adjust with the fact that they had certain rights that was not even in their mindset at the time, learning to taking care of the home, but then they're providing, they're the homemakers in a different environment. So that there's a whole learning process for them and being able to be nurturing to the children in a new environment. So, again, you had two different women who are in charge of two different businesses, but there's still the empowerment. So in one, you had a woman to be in empowerment. She, the lady who was wearing the boutique, she was working with her daughter. Than the other lady who was working with different women. So there was this that's the diversity. There was stuff that, like, my mind was just kind of blown. I was like, this is life remodeled, and this is a different venture of life being remodeled, all right?
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, so I think that's, you know, we get a chance to do some amazing projects and some amazing things, right? So mm-hmm. we do three things every year for the listeners that may not be aware. We do what we've talked about early on, what we call a six-day project, where we mobilize 10,000 volunteers over the course of 6 days to tackle, blight, and beautify over 4.5 square miles in the city of Detroit each year. We also renovate a community asset, thus Durfee Innovation Society, or DIS, or DIS. And then we actually provide some owner-occupied home repair. So what that's looked like over the past 3 years is some qualified homeowners in the area that we're working in either received a new roof, some new windows, or a new furnace. And those are all the things that we do. And it's meet huge needs, and it's some amazing, very rewarding work. But that's not who we are. Who we are, we like to say, is we're an organization that exists to bridge people across different divides, right? Because we think that we get people around a certain subject matter like blight that we all agree we need to be rid of. You get people from different backgrounds, political affiliations, different socioeconomic backgrounds, and people get to working together and focus on what we agree upon, that we forget about all those things that we disagree upon and realize that we actually can get a lot more accomplished together when we work and we stand united than we can when we're just focusing on those things that would separate us. So that's who we are as an organization. We like to bridge people across those divides.
Right. Stephen Covey. I think I'm getting it wrong. But anyway, the seven habits of an effective, how to become an effective business person. But then there was the eighth habit, which he evolved later on, was the fact that people finding their voice. That's the point I'm trying to get. And Life Remodel seems to be kind of doing that type of thing, where, yes, they come together united, but what the product is something totally different from by them interacting with each other, developing each other. So it's something unique and new that has allowed them to be united instead of divided. All right. Chris, dynamic, he's almost, you know, he always looks so relaxed. Has he voiced, or do you have a feel now of where he is now with Real Life Remodeled, and where does he have a vision already in the horizon, or just what's going on, do you think?
Chris has the gift of being an amazing visionary.
Yes, right? Yeah.
So he's always, he has no shortage of ideas.
And that's a nice way to put it. So
I guess the thing is, you know, being someone that casts huge vision, what we've embarked upon is new territory for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that before we start to cast vision for what's coming next, we have to make sure that we've created a great model when we hit a home run with this one.
Okay.
So we look to do and replicate what we're doing at Durfee Innovation Society moving forward in other communities and other neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that that's going to have probably a bigger impact and more lasting impact than any of the projects we've done before this combined.
Right.
But before we start to launch into new spaces, we have to make sure that we, you know, really execute well here.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think that, you know, being able to watch Chris for the last 2.5 years, you know, one of the things that I noticed from the outside of Life Remodeled before I came on staff was that, you know, it's much like many organizations in Detroit that's a predominantly black city that has white leadership, right? I think with great intentions and ability to drum up resources, mobilize people. I think that oftentimes there are blind spots that you're just not aware of. And I think one of the things that's serving in this community in particular is the rich history that's in this community. If you talk about, you know, we are a mile away from Gordon Park, which is, you know, the space where the 67 uprising, rebellion, or riots, depending on who you're talking to.
Uprising.
Yes.
That was a civil disturbance. That was the
exactly. So we're across the street from where the first mosque for the Nation of Islam was started. We are in a space that has, you know, just a very rich history and a very,
a very diverse history.
Proud people there. And when we first came in, there was a lot of friction. And there was what I would call a hazing process that Chris and Life Remodeled needed to go through. And I think that I've been able to stand alongside of him and watch him grow and be stretched and challenged in ways that he probably hadn't been on other projects. And I think that he understands Detroit a lot better, which is very important to me as a Detroiter. I'm always going to hear me speak as a Detroiter. That you know, I like to say that I work for the community, and Life Remodeled pays me to work for the community. So it's very, like, you know, refreshing to me to see him on this journey and actually evolve and become, you know, through this process, a real Detroiter, right? And understanding Detroiter and what it looks like to move in this space at a pretty high level. And I think that he would tell you himself that he has the community members that we get a chance to work with. And them, not everybody welcoming Life Remodeled with open arms. He has them to thank for it.
Okay, what has been the adventure for you?
The adventure for me personally?
So how did you become involved with Life Remodeled?
So, like a lot of people, seeing the projects from afar, getting involved by, you know, I have a construction background. So when they were in the Cody Rouge area, me and my business partner, we would, you know, bring our crew of guys that worked for us at the time. We'd pay them, you know, to come in and work with Life Remodeled for the day. That, I think, you know, Life Remodeled was talking about doing some workforce development in the skilled trade sector a few years ago. And there was a conversation that we had about coming alongside of them and assisting with that. And that never panned out. But, you know, there was an opportunity for Life Remodeled was looking for a project manager in 2016. And, you know, Chris reached out. We had a discussion. Didn't seem like it was going to work out. I think I had a little bit too many logs in the fire at the time. And then
everybody's, you know, not a Chris.
So when we had the discussion initially, I think that, you know, there was somebody that else that they had their eye on, and I had a couple of other projects that, you know, this didn't seem like I would be able to commit to make the commitment that Life Remodeled needed for the position. you know, fast forward, you know, I guess we had that conversation early November, late December. Chris called back, and I think the person that they had in mind didn't. They ended up going in a different route.
Right.
So we had another conversation about me taking a position on a temporary basis to kind of fill the spot.
Okay.
Until somebody else came in and took the position full time. So I think that. So I agreed to that. We worked out, you know, some conditions that worked out for me and for the organization.
Okay.
And like 3 weeks in, it became obvious to Life and Model and to me that I probably would make sense for me to take a more permanent position.
Mm-hmm.
So we had some discussions around that. And, you know, it really has been mutually beneficial. I think that one of the things that I said early on in one of, like, probably the second staff meeting that I was there is that, you know, oftentimes organizations or people of faith don't mind sharing resources.
Right.
But they don't necessarily know how or desire to share power.
Okay.
And
all
I think
right.
that's two different discussions.
Yes.
And that's where my heart is.
Okay.
Making sure that power is shared and not just shared resources.
All right.
And I explained that, you know, we don't have enough, a lot of blueprints to follow.
Right.
On that.
So right.
we have to create one.
And okay.
I think that that's one of the roles that I'm trying to play as
okay.
a member of the organization. And I think that Life and Model is really trying to figure out how to share power and not just share resources.
Okay. There's a term they use in the industry where they prototype. All right. Life and Model seems to be a living prototype of a community development type of situation. And I think what's going to happen is that you might be a prototype, but each community's prototype is going to be different.
Definitely.
Okay. Because definitely. Each community has a different stakeholders.
Definitely.
And this, each stakeholder, you know, it's like a child. You can all come from the same family and have the same parent, but depending on how many children, it's going to be totally different. Yes, we have the same eyes, not necessarily the same nose, you know, that type of thing.
Definitely. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. All right. So what is today like look like for Mr. Dandridge?
Say, what does today look like?
What is a day?
Oh, a day in my
yeah,
life?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. About the day in my life. Yeah, I mean, you talk about diversity, right? I can work with anybody on my day from, you know, I could be in the same room as the mayor of the city or
mm-hmm.
the governor of the state. And I can, in that same very same day, you know, I can be in an alley helping clean up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think that I get, you know, it's especially the community engagement side. I think that's probably my sweet spot because I love interacting with people and I love learning from people.
Mm-hmm.
That's where, you know, the bulk of my education has come from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, right now, planning for 6 Day Project with it only being a week away, and for all the listeners, I want to make sure to make sure you get an invitation to come out and volunteer with us next week, Monday through Saturday. And that we have, you know, two shifts. You can do either 9 to 1. 1 to 5, or you can do a full day. So I guess we actually have 3 shifts.
Mm-hmm.
and it's very rewarding work, and it's amazing. And you definitely wouldn't be disappointed. You'd probably be disappointed if you missed the opportunity to come and hang out with us.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, my days right now look like a lot of planning, making sure that, you know, we have water for the volunteers, making sure we have ice lined up for the volunteers.
Yes,
sure
yes.
Equipment, making sure that the spaces that we will launch from, which we call command centers, is all prepped and ready to receive us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just making sure the T's are crossed, the I's are dotted right now. That's where I'm at.
Okay. Now, we touched base about the advisory board. Is there another organizational entity within Atlanta that works along with the advisory board, or is the advisory board the one that oversees this particular project that's going on now?
So, no, the advisory council, mostly, they exist to speak into the decision-making at Durfee Innovation Society.
Okay.
So they, the way that they're formed and the way that they work is that they're nine right now on the advisory council, community leaders, and what they are tasked with is they go out to their networks, they share information about Life Remodeled, and they come back and advise Life Remodeled as to what the community would like to see Life Remodeled do, right?
Right.
And, you know, the way that we set up accountability is that we're going to start putting on our website everything that the advisory council has advised us on.
Right.
And we'll also list our response to that.
Okay.
Either we did it or we didn't.
All right.
Right? Because what we, everybody is Detroiters, again, speaking as a Detroiter, what we always want to know is, like, is this a real advisory council? Is there real shared power there?
All
right.
Again,
right?
Okay.
Going back to that term. So that's the way they're set up. So we don't have anybody else necessarily advising us on the 6-day project. That's kind of our sweet spot.
Okay.
Now, what we do get is feedback from the community as to what our focus should be.
Okay.
And the one thing we learned last year was the first year in this area that we've worked on the alleys at all. The feedback that we got from the community is that the people that were upset with us at the end of a project week last year, excuse me, were upset because we didn't necessarily get to their alley. So we have a very lofty goal to get to clear out like 263 alleys.
Okay, that is a lofty goal because I've seen some. I know about the alleys. Okay.
Yes. So it's like they're each one is like a little mini forest.
Yes, it is. It is.
All kinds of illegal dumping that's happened in there.
I know when I moved from the east side to the west side, because the east side is the older part of Detroit.
Right.
So the alleys were paved, you know, it was cemented, that type of thing. And then later, you know, in another generation, there's grass in the alleys. And I know that was the first thing when my friends died, but you got grass in your alley, you know?
Yes.
And so you got, you know, your little lower 40, as you lower your little acre, green acres. All right.
Right.
And then I also said, now the part of that thing is that they're clearing out the alleys and you're working with the city now to, so that the homeowners will have that alley space
So the redeeded to them.
Okay.
I think that the mayor had an initiative, and I'm not sure how far it dates back, but what the city desires now is for the homeowners to extend their property line.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take half of the alley that's located right behind your home,
right,
and extend your property line out, and meet up with the neighbor that lives right behind
you. Right,
right. So the thought is that for the homes that are occupied, once we get it cleared off, I mean, nobody wants to inherit a forest.
Right.
Right. So if we can assist with clearing that out,
right,
then it makes it a lot more attractive to those homeowners that would like to do that.
Okay. Okay. Getting back to that. So then Life Remodeled has its own business staff meeting and then the activity board and then the two of you get together. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
The advisory council meets once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have community meetings where we engage the broader community as well.
Okay. All right. Okay, so now for the day-to-day operations, how is that managed?
So,
because you've got nonprofits and different business always going on, and then you've got the other different things that are happening too. So who oversees who manages all of that?
So we have an amazing COO, Carrie Smith, and when you're dealing with the Durfee Innovation Society, for the most part, we have a director there who's actually a community member.
Mm-hmm.
She's been on staff with us 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Denise Lyles.
Okay.
And yeah, Denise is like a little mini community mayor, if you will.
Okay.
Denise knows everybody.
All right.
She's super engaged when it comes to the community. So she's the person that is the director over the Griffey Innovation Society. So mm-hmm. she helps with, and she will most likely remain there with a small team once the rest of us are going into the next neighborhood. Right?
Okay.
So we'll still have a presence there
right.
because of the Durfee Innovation Society.
Mm-hmm.
But the other things that we do will, when we get ready to move in 2022,
mm-hmm.
The rest of the team will be going in that direction.
All right. Now, I know that when I was there, you were showing me where there was a swimming pool and that you were now, and this is something else that anybody in the community might be interested in, is that one of the, okay, it's kind of like potentials, that'd be a better word because it wasn't say objective. There's the potential of then, getting that back up into operation. So that's one thing that could be out there. Then there was also, if I understood you correctly, that you are looking at if anybody wants to come in, look at that space, and then reinvent into something else. There's still a lot of all that still, those kind of opportunities are still there, correct?
Yes, definitely. So, I mean, a large part of what we do is based on relationships and partnerships, right?
Okay.
So if we have a partner that will come through and say, hey, we will renovate the pool, and we may have one mm-hmm. already that I don't want to go public with just yet.
Okay.
But renovating the pool is like a very expensive renovation,
mm-hmm.
right? But along with that, operating a pool, we hear, is like a couple $100,000
mm-hmm.
a year. So
okay.
what we would need are those two things in place. We need someone to come along and say they want to renovate it.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also need someone that would manage it and oversee whatever programming
okay.
like there.
Okay. All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to finish another one of these trailers, let that thing, and then we'll come back. This is Betty Daniels with Fourth Tuesday with Mr. Dewan Dandridge from Life Remodel. And we'll be back. We're just going to pick up one and then kind of do a little bit of another one, okay?
We're also removing blight on 300 city blocks in 6 days with 10,000 people. So we'll board up 300 houses. We'll cut down really tall weeds, get rid of illegal dumping, and then we're remodeling 50 homes as well.
I seen them come around and was asking people, do they want to sign up? So I volunteered to do the whole 7 days from 9 to 5, whenever they stop, and to help improve where I live and around for these children. I like to see them be safe getting to school and from school.
This is my city. I was born and raised here. And I'm very thankful for the city of Detroit for having this type of summer job for teenagers like me.
So this is our third year with Life Remodeled. First year was at Cody, second year was at Osborne, and now we're here at Denby. We've been involved in Detroit, obviously, for many, many years with many different organizations. I myself am chairman of New Detroit, so I'm down here quite often. We have 176 people here today out of about 325 in our Detroit office. So we have a big representation of all levels of the company and all departments.
I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana, with the church Mercy Road. And I went to college with a guy named Chris Lambert, who started Life Remodeled. And I've heard about it for years. They've always wanted to see what it's all about, so we're super excited.
We are doing security for Life Remodeled, mainly perimeter security and overnight security for the heavy equipment. This is our second year involved with Life Remodeled. And we probably have about 20 people involved in the project this year. And so I think it's good that Life Remodeled is here, you know, over 10,000 volunteers and all kind of work being done. I'm very grateful and excited from all the people. I just talked to some kids from Maine. And so people are here from all over to build up our communities in the city. And I'm just excited about it. I'm very grateful.
All right, and then, like I said, we just dug one of the trailers from Life Remodel. Again, this is Betty Daniels with Fourth Tuesday and on Impact, and we have Mr. Dewan Dandridge, who is your executive title again, Dewan?
Vice President of Projects and Community Engagement.
Okay. Now, we have a lot. If I'm to summarize it here, there's more of a community involvement in this particular project than it was before. Is that correct? Would that be?
Well, I don't know if I would say that. I think that, you know, we've had significant community involvement in every project that we worked on. I think that there was probably some a bit different reaction to us in this community initially than it was in the other projects that we've done in the past. Part of that had a lot to do with Durfee and Invasive Society. When you talk about acquiring real estate when you're doing renovating a community asset versus coming and doing some renovations to a school and moving out, that's a much different conversation.
Right.
And you're going to be received a lot different.
Okay. That's also a getting to know you.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. I, as I was going around the Durfee complex, there was gentlemen doing the maintenance. They were doing different repairs. That's a little bit different too now, because you are still evolving, still growing. So it's more than just fixing up something. You are, what is it? It's more than repair. You are building. This is a combination. It's a total, and the there's almost the building has as much to do with it as the fixing up. Correct?
Oh, definitely, definitely, yeah. So, it's when you come into a building as beautiful as the Durfee Innovation Society. You know, it's much like, you know, all things in life, right? There's the beauty, but there's also a side that you know is not so beautiful. I mean, you have a building that was built in 1927. We had an old heating system. We were still operating on a boiler that's run in Central.
All right.
So we had to depend on them for a lot, and the pipes running underground from one building to another and all that stuff is just, you know, kind of, it's not ideal.
Okay.
It's definitely not efficient. So we had to upgrade and do a new heating HVAC system.
All right.
And we also needed to be compliant with the city codes
regulations
and install an elevator.
So all right.
There were a lot of things that were mandatory, but then you also have things that are necessary to make sure that, you know, things are you know, competitive as far as like what the tenants need.
Right.
Needs are. So, yeah. So there's a lot of construction that's taken place. There's a lot that will take place. Yeah, and then, you know, on a building that size, you're talking about over 140,000 square feet, there'll always be maintenance and upkeep necessary.
Okay. Are those still done by volunteers or volunteer agencies? I mean, just how's that?
Yeah.
It seems to me that would be a different type of thing, because it's one thing to come in, do the thing, and then leave, but this is an ongoing kind of a thing. Yeah. So how does that work?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, we wish you could get, you know, some volunteers to do things like an elevator. but, I mean, to be honest, we have some amazing partnerships with some electrical companies and some construction companies. And they, what they can't provide for us pro bono, they definitely give us, you know, a very good price, because they've embraced the mission as well and the vision as well. And they want to make sure, and they play a big role in us being successful as an organization. So what they aren't in a position to do for us pro bono, they also definitely give us the best price they can.
Okay, so we're coming close to a little bit to the end of our time. Tell us about the project that's coming up, the dates and times, and go on, keep on talking, and tell us about that.
So, again, our six-day Life Remodeled six-day project 2019 is going to take place August 5th through the 10th. We are expecting over 10,000 volunteers over the course of those 6 days. We're looking to clear 263 alleyways in the area surrounding Central High School. We are also putting on what we're calling Family Fun Day on Saturday, where we're renting literally the largest bounce house in the world. And we are going to have, Henry Ford is going to be there putting on a health fair where they're going to have free immunizations. They're going to have blood pressure screening and a number of the other services like eye checks. We're going to also have a bunch of games and activities for the kids.
And the contact if someone wanted to get in contact with that?
So you can look us up on www.liferemodel.com.
Okay. Our time is running out, and some of the same information that he gives, that he's just given to you is part of this trailer. Again, Duan, thank you very, very much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. And again, the dates for that particular project is starting, going to be when?
August 5th through the 10th.
Okay. And is there a telephone number that people can contact? Okay.
Yeah, just find us online.
Under Life Remodeled. Okay.
LifeRemodeled.com.
Okay. Thank you very, very good. And this is Betty Daniels from Impact for Tuesday. And we're going out with some of the information that you want. I'm asking him to give you on that up and coming project.
Hello, my name is Sharnice Marshall, and I'm the Director of Groups and Youth Engagement here at Life Remodeled.
I'm Duan Dandridge, and I'm the Vice President of Projects and Community Engagement here at Life Remodeled.
And I'm Chris Lambert, Life Remodeled Founder and CEO.
We are so excited to be working with you as a Red Shirt Leader this year.
In this video, we'll give you some background on Life Remodeled, discuss how you can serve as a Red Shirt Leader during our upcoming six-day project, August 5th through the 10th. Just to be clear, you can volunteer for one day or as many as 6 days if you'd like. You'll also get some key details regarding things like logistics, equipment use, and safety.
Life Remodeled exists to bridge people across divides to help transform each other's lives. So basically what we do is we focus on one neighborhood at a time. We discover the vision of the community from the youth, from the residents who live here. What do they want for the future? Then to implement their vision, we bring together people from the city, the suburbs, different races, different religions, different socioeconomic backgrounds. And in the process of working shoulder to shoulder, side by side on a vision we all agree on, people begin to realize they like each other, they need each other. That's what creates the foundations for long-term sustainable development.
Here at Life Remodeled, we have four core values. We believe in seeing the unseen, looking beyond the way things may appear and seeing what could be. We believe in people over projects. Of course, our projects are exceptionally valuable, but the people we serve and serve alongside matter more than the products and the processes. People are priceless. We believe in bold humility, taking on the form of servants who value others over ourselves, and we do so with confidence and relentless determination. Lastly, we believe in enduring change, investing in projects that have the strong potential for sustainability, and we work strategically toward the end.
This year, we'll continue to serve in one of Detroit's most historic neighborhoods, home of Central High School. Central High School is the first public high school in the city of Detroit. Central has the largest Jewish alumni of any high school in the city of Detroit. This is also the neighborhood where Nation of Islam was started. The Black Panther Party of Self-Defense has significant roots in this community. This is also a stone's throw away from where the 1967 uprising took place, where citizens responded to years of discrimination and police brutality.
Although we've made much progress, we still have a lot of work to do. Life Remodeled provides the opportunity for people from different walks of life, races, religions, and communities to work side by side to bridge the gap and tear down walls that divide us.
Volunteering is for everyone as long as you're at least 14 years of age. The volunteer activity this year is going to be blight removal. So if anyone's looking for less strenuous activity, they can just talk to us at the registration desk because, again, volunteering is for everyone.
Like all of our volunteers, Red Shirt Leaders are a very valuable asset to the Life Remodeled team. As a Red Shirt Leader, you are the team captain during the six-day project. Your number one job is to make sure that your team is having fun, being safe, and being productive during their volunteer experience. We want to make sure that your team sticks together no matter. What. You and your team will be doing blight removal during the six-day project. You'll be clearing alleyways, cutting down thick brush, and picking up every single piece of trash. Remember, stay safe, stay together, and be the best team in Life Remodeled history.
You're going to be provided one of these red shirts when you come and volunteer, but make sure everyone wears work pants, closed-toed shoes, and sunglasses or some kind of eye protection. Now, we're going to provide you with shared work gloves, but I highly recommend you bring your own gloves, bug spray, and sunscreen.
Please be sure to park only in Life Remodeled designated parking spaces. We need the streets clear for our shuttles to have easy access to command centers, our heavy equipment operators to be able to travel down the streets. Be sure to check out our website for up-to-date information on parking.
We encourage all volunteers to pre-register, but there will be registration on site. Please check in each day. When you arrive, you'll check in, you'll turn in your waiver, and receive your Life Remodeled shirt. If you're part of a pre-registered group, we ask that you all choose a designated area to meet, turn in your waivers to one person, and send that person to the group registration table.
Take the shuttle from registration to the command center. There's more than one command center, so if you're serving with a team, be sure that you all board the same shuttle. The shuttles continue to run throughout the day, so no worries, you can arrive late or even leave early if necessary.
Help your team gather equipment at the command center. The following list is appropriate for a team of 10 people. 1 weed whip, 1 shovel, 2 rakes, 2 push brooms, 5 loppers, 1 roll of garbage bags, 10 pairs of work gloves, 1 wheelbarrow, and earplugs, sunblock, glasses, and water as needed.
Your team will work together to remove blight and beautify designated alleys. Our goal is to clear 263 alleys during Project Week. This will be a huge benefit to some residents that will be able to take advantage of the city's new initiative to deed the alleyway back to the homeowners. You'll work to remove garbage, clear brush, and weeds. When doing blight removal and beautification, your team will create 3 separate piles of debris along the curb of vacant properties. One pile will be for yard waste, one for tires, and one for garbage. Please make sure your team does not mix the debris. 3 separate piles.
We want to make sure that all of our volunteers are safe, so please be aware of your surroundings. Please do not weed whip near other people. Always wear safety glasses or sunglasses, and don't walk in the streets, only the sidewalks. Please watch where you're going, watch out for traffic, and also speeding cars. Don't look at your cell phone while you're walking. Beware of heavy machinery. Please do not swat at any bees, and make sure you lift with your legs. If you see anything suspicious or dangerous, please notify your area lead.
Detroit's not a danger zone. Like most big cities and urban environments, it's a pretty safe space. However, when serving in a new environment, a city, there are a few measures that you can keep in mind to help you navigate during your time serving in Detroit. Treat every citizen you come across with love, respect, and kindness. Eye contact and a smile go a long way. Don't wander off from your team. Don't enter into any empty houses or vehicles. In the unlikely event that you find yourself in an unsafe situation, remain calm, be proactive and not reactive. Contact 911, your area lead, and security.
If you have any questions while you're working, such as needing more equipment or supplies or water, or maybe you need an additional assignment to go to a further place, just make sure to ask your area leads. As the red shirt leader, you're responsible for your team, but you're not alone. The area leads are there for you, and there's also a list of emergency contacts if anything were to happen.
Before you get to work, talk to your team. Red shirt leaders, introduce yourself, thank your team for coming, and then let them know what they will be doing for the day. Make sure that you all stay together. No one should go anywhere alone. Never go into any houses or cars. Please drink plenty of water. There will be a lunch break. Also, make sure you operate tools that you know how to use.